Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
James chapter 1, let's begin reading. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's say a word of prayer before we begin this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you so much, as the song just said, that you do know this piece of clay. Lord, each and every one of us in here this morning, Lord, you know how much pressure we can take. You know how much work we need. And Father, I'm glad that by studying your word and getting to know you better and forming a relationship, that it's okay, even as a mature Christian, to realize that you're still working on us. And Father, help us to never feel like we've got to be perfect right now, because Lord, that'll only come in heaven. Lord, as we go through trials, Father, I pray that you'll help us as we see from your word here, Lord, that we can see these times as joyous times, because we know that you're doing something in our lives. Well, we ask you to bless this time now in the reading of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as you begin reading the book of James, immediately you pick up on the subjects of patience and endurance. And I like both those terms very well. I like for you all to be patient with me. But now I don't know how patient I want to be with you, right? Does it work for you that same way? Well, as growing up, I wanted my parents to be patient with me. I'm just a kid. Be patient with me. But I wasn't very patient with them. They're adults. They should have it all figured out. And now with my children, I'm not very patient with them, but I expect them to be very patient with me. That's just how we are. We're wired that way. Everyone else, if everyone else will be patient, my life will be timed out just right. But it doesn't work that way. We have to be patient. And then endurance. I like to have endurance. I don't like to build up endurance. Anybody say amen right there? I like to be able to endure things that I've already gotten used to. But when you give me something new and you say, "Now you're going to have to endure this for a little while," I don't like that. Last year I got the flu. I didn't know what I had. I just had something. And I had to go to the doctor. And she said, "You're going to have to endure this. I'm going to." She pulled out a Q-tip that was about this long. She said, "I'm going to shove this up past your brain." Anybody ever had this test? And she said, "This chemical I had to put on here to see if you had the flu." I said, "Hey, I'll just give in. I got it. I've got the flu. You're not putting a chemical on a Q-tip and shoving it up my nose." And she said, "You're just going to have to endure this for just a minute." She said, "It's a little uncomfortable." Now, I have learned, especially at the dentist, but even at the doctor sometimes, when they use the word uncomfortable, that means you're going to hurt for just a minute. And you're going to have to endure that thing. And sure enough, here she goes, way back here, you know, to get it in there. And she starts going, and I said, "Oh, this isn't so bad." Then all of a sudden, just bam, it was like a firecracker went off inside my head. And I jerked away and grabbed that, and I about went after this lady, and she ran for the door. I mean, I was embarrassed of how emotional I got over this. But it was awful. It was the worst thing I'd ever done in my life. I would just assume have the flu than to have to be tested to see if I have the flu. The flu's bad. Have you ever had the flu? You're just praying, "Lord, just take me on home. I'm done. This is awful. I don't want this anymore." But I'll tell you, I'd soon have that than have that happen to me. And I had to endure. Endurance is a good thing when we already have it, but it's not a good thing when we have to learn endurance. So don't let me scare you this morning. Right off the bat here in the book of James, we are introduced to patience and endurance. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning, mainly patience. James writes, he says he's writing to those tribes, 12 tribes, or the brothers in Christ who are scattered abroad. And really what he writes to them here is what to do in the midst of life's trials and pains. Have you ever wondered, what do I do? I'm in the middle of this hard time. I'm in the middle of this trial. What do I do? And James writes about that. He writes of patience with the idea of being content as you endure through God's trying or proving in your life. We are to endure with patience, knowing that impatience will cause us to miss out on the fullest blessing that God has intended. But you know, the world today, it's hard to be that way. We have a consumer mindset. And we have been appealed to so much by those who appeal to consumers to, we can give you the best thing, we can give it to you fast, and we can give it to you cheap. And that's what we've come to expect. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You know, I come along as a young preacher, and they taught us two things. You can either be really good, and people will like your preaching, or you can be really quick, and people will like your preaching. So early on, I'd preach 5-minute sermons, and people, boy, that guy's great. They love him. And I've learned, even with you all, that if I get you out a little bit before, 1 minute before 12 even, if you're walking out the back door and you see on that clock that it hadn't hit 12 yet, it's a big grin comes on your face. Preacher, that's the best message I ever heard this morning. No, we're not really that way. But we have that consumer mindset. Give me what I came here for. Give it to me quick. Give it to me. It better be the best I've ever had, but hurry up and get it that way. I know good things take time, but I want it now. The world has that consumer mindset. But with that mentality, it's hard to practice patience and endurance. And in our Christian walk with God, have patience, especially when we're in a trial or in a pain or a hard time. In fact, we must realize, and we must always realize with patience, that our timing is different than God's. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Our timing is much different than God's. The famous atheist, Robert Ingersoll, you may have heard of him. He was lecturing. And one of the things he would always do when he was lecturing, he would finish up what he was talking about, that God didn't exist. It's funny that this man would have to go on tour to prove that. God didn't exist, he wouldn't need proof, right? There's so much proof that God does exist, you kind of have to prove that he doesn't.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
But he would take out his watch at the end of his little speech there, and he'd say, for all of you who believe God does exist, I'm going to give him 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things that I said, because I've just bashed his name. And one time he was doing that, and like 4.5 minutes went by, and some people passed out in anxiety. I mean, just, oh, I can't believe he even said that. And that story got around to a local preacher, and that preacher summed it up just right. He says, does this man believe, or does he think, that he could exhaust the patience of the eternal God in just 5 minutes? How about that? God's timing is not our timing. We can't wear out God's timing. Our time is not our time. But our God, who is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-present and never changing.
Amen.
Forget that one sometimes, don't we? He's never changing. If He took care of Joshua through a hard time, He's going to take care of you through a hard time. Praise God that He's never changing. Our God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, never changing, knows what's best for us.
Yes, He does.
But he knows with that having everything now is not always best. Have you learned that?
Yes.
I've learned that with my spending. When I first got out of Mom and Dad's house and got my own place, all of a sudden I had my own address. And credit card companies found out they could mail me. Well, I found out they could mail me these pieces of plastic in the mail and go get whatever I wanted now and then pay for it when I got paid later on. Right? Isn't that great? I didn't have money to buy this new TV, but this guy says, hey, here's my card, and I put your name on it, and I'll pay for it, and you pay me back later. Well, that's a good deal, right? Have it now. And you're all going, no. Children, that's not the right thing. All right? Having it now is not always best, and God knows that. I remember one Christmas. Now, every Christmas, I would beg Mom and Dad, can we have the gifts early? You know, it's Christmas Day, you open the gifts. But then you say, you beg for Christmas Eve night. Anybody else do that? Please, 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 we want to open presents on Christmas Eve night. Just a little earlier. And then if you get a flat no there, you say, just one. Can we just open one? Now, I learned from my dad, if we ever got him to let us open one present, the joy of watching us open that one, he couldn't say no to the rest. And then he would say, oh, come on, Peggy. And then Mom would, what was Mom going to do? Be screwed, you know? One year, My sister and I don't know how, because my sister liked to wait on at least till Christmas Eve. But I convinced her, and then she and I together convinced my parents to do it really early. Like, I don't remember how early, maybe a week or just 2 or 3 days. It seemed like we were a month ahead of Christmas, and we got to open all our presents. Man, I was so happy about that. And I called all my friends and said, man, we got to open our presents now. And I've already got it. I've already got them all that Mom and Dad got for us. We got them all. And you know the bad part of that was? Christmas morning, I woke up and I said, now wait a minute, I want to open some presents. Santa Claus had done come. And I'd already opened all my presents. All the other kids got to open theirs that day. And here I just had old stuff that I already had for 2 or 3 days. And I wanted new stuff again. We don't always need things now. God knows that. God's timing is not always, or our timing is not always right, and His is. So this morning I want to take a look at patience and endurance in James chapter number 1 and give you two things from that. First, we'll look at the trials of life. And then secondly, our guarantee if we endure those trials. So let's begin with verse number 2 here on the trials of life by saying very clearly, life's not easy. Man, I thought I'd get a resounding amen there. Let's try. Life's not easy, is it? No, it's not easy. Life's hard. We go through easy times. But for all in all, life is hard. One of you said to me just this morning, I said, did you have a good week? And he said, everything that I expected to go wrong went wrong. I said, well, then it went just as you expected, right? But life's hard. Days are hard. Problems are hard. Bills are hard. Relationships are hard. I love relationships with people, but it's hard to work on those relationships and keep from offending them and them offending me and keeping smiles on our face and liking each other. It's tough. Life's not easy. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Did he say if? No, he said when. I like the picture of I come to the altar one Sunday morning. I was 11 years old. It was a Wednesday night. And I confess my sins to Jesus, and I get saved, and the preacher baptizes me. And for the rest of my life, it's rainbows and butterflies, and I skip everywhere I go and whistle. I like that mentality, and I wished it was that way. I really do. But it's not, is it? The Christian life is not a bed of roses. We've got Jesus with us, and that makes it a lot better. And the Bible seems to make a little more sense. I remember before I got saved, Dad would say, buddy, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible. And one time I finally just said, it doesn't make any sense to me. And it didn't. And to a lost person, the Bible does not make sense. But when you get saved, it's like blinders lifted off your eyes. It does. And that's good and that's helpful, but still, it's hard. Life is hard. James says to count it all joy when. Becoming a Christian doesn't make life easier. We're still promised trials, but now we have both God and the Word and godly friends to walk that path with us. President Herbert Hoover was asked one time to give in one sentence his secret to success in life. And here's what he said, with the help of God, I never gave up. Well, that was good, wasn't it? I like that. Life isn't easy, but if we patiently endure, we can have a powerful testimony of trust in God in our lives. The second thing, trials have a purpose. It's very important to remember that. Life isn't easy. You're going to go through trials, but trials have a purpose. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word trying is what we should consider, or what we would consider, testing. Trying is a challenge or a situation that provides the opportunity for the recipient to prove himself. Do you like to prove yourself? I like to prove myself. Now, when I go through a trial as a Christian, a lot of times I don't think of it that way. I don't think of it as God's given me an opportunity to prove myself unto Him or to others for His glory. I think of it as, why me, Lord? But really, a trial is an opportunity for us to flex our spiritual muscles and say, oh, I know what to do right here. I've heard it preached all my life. I've read the Bible. They taught me in Sunday school. My parents raised me this way, and I know what to do. And Lord, I'm going to prove myself right here. Amen. That's what trying is. That's why we say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And he said in verse 3, knowing this, because you already know.
Yeah.
And you, maybe you didn't know before now, but you know now because I'm telling you, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Amen. That's good.
There is a purpose for this test that you're having to go through right now. We used to have to try out for sports teams. Now, I loved rec ball. As long as Mom and Daddy paid, I got to play. That was good. That was a lot of fun. The coach was obligated. I don't know what they would do to him if he did it. Maybe they'd sue him or put him in jail or something. But if he didn't put me out on the field or the court enough times, and Mom and Dad had paid that money, well, then he got in trouble. And I knew that, and it was a comforting feeling. But when I got into school, there was no more of that. The coach said, "My boys, we're going to put the five best men, basketball, put the five best men out there on the floor. There's 47 of y'all here today, and we're only going to dress 12. Well, that's tough odds. I mean, even if you made it into that 12, which is pretty hard, you still mean you made it that 5 to get on the floor. You hope one of them broke their legs or got too tired. Then you got to play." And that was a test. It was a trial for 2 weeks. They'd do everything they could do to get enough to decide they didn't want to play basketball anymore so that the coach didn't have to pick and say, "I want you and you and you." They run us hard enough, by the end of that thing, half of them had said, "I don't know if I want to play basketball anymore." And it made the coach's job very easy. And that's just how it worked. But I hated that trial. I hated that test. But I liked putting on that jersey.
Amen.
It was an opportunity to prove myself. It wasn't easy. It wasn't pleasant. But in the end, I realized it had a purpose.
Amen.
There was a purpose for that. Does everybody have driver's license, at least who drove to church today? Anybody want to just go ahead and confess up? How did you get that driver's license? You had to take a test, didn't you? You had to study a book. Miss Shanae's nephew, cousin, Andrew. Y'all seen Andrew. He comes around every now and then from Georgia. He's at that age where he is going to take his driver's test. And his mother said, "Chance, tell Andrew he's got to study." And he said, "I know how to drive. I know you go the speed limit, you stop at the red lights, you slow down if it's yellow. I got it all." So they found this online test where he could kind of pre-see what's going on, and he failed it. And then he decided, "I better study." And you all went through that, didn't you? Did you all get the little books? Is that how they do it in Tennessee? Oh, I could tell some good Tennessee jokes right there. But I'm a citizen now, so let's tell some Georgia jokes. Down in Georgia, they didn't give us the little books because none of us knew how to read, right? Now y'all know the terrible jokes we tell in Georgia about Tennessee people. But you'd study that book, and then you'd show up and you'd go take your test, and if you passed the written part, then you get to go drive a cop around. Why in the world they want to make us drive a policeman around? And no offense to Brother Tony and some of you who were policemen, but I appreciate what you do for the bad guys, but I'm a good guy, and I don't want you in the car with me because you make me nervous. I know what I'm doing. Was that a resounding amen? All right.
So anytime I drove.
You're driving a cop around. Man, tough. Nobody wants to do that. I just want my driver's license. And then he said, "Parallel park? I don't want a parallel park. I don't know how to parallel park." And I lived in a town where there were no parallel parking. It was a small town. There weren't even any parking much, especially parallel. "Well, you might have to drive to Atlanta." "Nope, Mom said I never could drive to Atlanta, ever." "See, I'm covered. Just let me have my license." But that wasn't happening. We had to go through. You had to go through that test. You had to go through that trial, so to speak, that opportunity to prove yourself. But there was a purpose. Because that day I came home singing zippity-doo-dah. It was all rainbows and butterflies that day. And whistling. And I had that driver's license. And my parents said, "Oh, Lord, help." And I wanted to go anywhere. Just anywhere. So off I went to Walmart to get my milk. And we had milk. But I just needed to drive somewhere. Yes, I had to go. Trials have a purpose. That same word for trying was used to describe the refining process of metals like gold. They would melt the metal into liquid form so that impurities would rise to the top to be skimmed off. And then the precious metal was that much more valuable. That's the purpose of our trying too. God removes impurities from our lives as our faith is tested. So life is not easy. Trials have a purpose. And with that known and our thinking about our trials of life, we don't have to worry. That's the third thing. You don't have to worry. You may be like me, other than eating and sleeping. One of my third hobbies is worry. I just enjoy it. It's fun. I just sit around and worry on purpose because it's something that I enjoy to do. Not really, but I'll preach to you about worry this morning. Then sometime this week, my wife will say to me, "Didn't you just preach about worrying? And here you are worrying over all these things." She's in me to worry a little bit. But we don't have to worry. James says very clearly in verse 2, count it all joy. James tells us to count trying, testing, trials, all joy. But I have a hard time having joy during the middle of a trial. And I assume you do too. I have a stronger prayer life during a trial. My relationships with others get built up because I'm saying, hey, help me, pray with me. I need you right now. I need to talk to you. But I don't know about joy. Joy comes in the morning, right? Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I celebrate later. But James says, count it all joy when you enter into a trial. As you're headed into it and you see the big dark storm cloud, James says, jump up and down and wave your hands and say, praise the Lord. Well, I don't know, James. You're living a different Christian life than I am. I don't know if I can do that or not. When I was trying to parallel park that police officer, I was not counting that all joy. I was sweating and I was nervous and my hands were shaking and I was doing the best I could to do it. And I messed it up. And that would have flunked me. And he said, why don't you try that again? Whew. What a great guy. Let me parallel park twice. You all know, it's a recorded fact now before you and God, that I did not pass my driver's exam except that guy gave me another chance. So, you don't pull in my license, are you, brother? No. But you know, Jesus taught it that way too. I might could just say, well, James is... he's a little different than the rest of us, and maybe we don't need to live that way. But then Jesus kind of backed him up on this. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Exactly what James said. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you're going to come into trials. Jesus said, these things that I've spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. When you enter, you shall have. They both said you're going to go into a hard time, a trial, a test. James says, count it all joy. Jesus says, be of good cheer. James gives me a little something that, or Jesus gave me a little something that James doesn't, though. Jesus said, I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
So that's the fourth thing. We don't have to worry because we can count on God.
Right.
Praise the Lord for that. God is in control. This trial has a purpose. And God has a purpose in this trying. And He will, for His purpose, bring us through the trials of life.
Yes, He will.
You know, sometimes before I preach, I get nervous. You can believe this if you want. And most of you think I'm lying to you to make a good point. I am a shy guy by nature. Believe it or not, I am. Somehow or another, all your faces blur out. I don't even realize anybody's there, and I just pretend I'm at home all by myself preaching. Not really, but I was a shy guy. When I was about 12 or 13, we started going to the church where Miss Shanae went. And Miss Shanae, the first impression she has of me was this little guy who would go sit two-thirds of the way back on the end of the pew there, and I'd look down the whole service and wouldn't talk to anybody, and they'd all come around and say, hey, we're glad you're at church, you know. I just didn't say a word. I was a pretty shy guy growing up. In school, I didn't talk to anybody. The coaches loved me at ball practice because I kept my mouth shut. I was shy. I didn't have a lot to say. Believe it or not, I kept my mouth shut. But sometimes when I preach, that comes up a little. Actually, almost every time. But sometimes I just get a little overwhelmed with it. And I'll pray and I'll say, now, Lord, I didn't get into this voluntarily. You called me to preach. So I'm obligating you to help me through this sermon this morning. You ever do that with stuff? Say, Lord, you led me here. Now what do you take over from this point over? I feel like if I obligate God to do what He called me to do, then maybe that'll help Him push me through it, that some magic dust will come out of heaven and push me on through. But God has a purpose for our trying. And He will, for His own purpose, bring us through the trials of life. Before returning to His Father, Jesus reminded His followers of that same thing. In John chapter 14, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Man, that's exactly right. Praise God. Jesus wants us to lean on Him in trials rather than worry. So, looking at our trials, we get to the second point this morning, our guarantee if we endure life's trials. I like a guarantee. The first part is in verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience perfects us. I like that. I try to be perfect. Anybody else here a perfectionist? If you are, then reading verse number 4, the word perfect just kept coming out there. It's in there twice. I want things to be just so. I try to make sure things are just so. Some of you looked at me like, well, you're not doing a very good job if you're trying to be perfect. But we have a guarantee that patience perfects us. The word perfect in this verse should catch our attention. But you know, no matter how hard I try, I can never get things just right. Especially in my Christian life. Especially in spiritual matters. But it's a comfort to know that I am being perfected.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's wonderful to know. He's still working on me. James writes, essentially, that patience is our tutor. Patience is our schoolmaster. Patience is perfecting us. And if we stick with it, we'll enjoy all that God wants us to learn through patience. The second thing is our guarantee is that patience completes us. Verse 4, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Patience completes us. That word entire there means whole, well, physical or spiritual well-being. The word was also used a lot for people that Jesus had healed. James refers to the day in which our patience is complete and will be rewarded there in verse number 12. He says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Someday, in our glorified bodies, we will be complete.
That's right.
Patience does that work. Patience completes us.
Yeah.
And then patience prepares us. The phrase in verse number 4, wanting nothing. Now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I like a guarantee that says, hey, you'll want nothing. But that's not exactly where he's going with that. It's not saying that we will never again desire things we can't have. It'd be nice if that's what it was saying. For the rest of your life, there'll be nothing that you want that you can't have. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Don't you wish I'd preach that to you this morning? But I'm not going to. I didn't even skip over it so that you could assume. You know, we do that a lot. We assume and then we blame God. When it comes down to it, we don't get everything that we want. We say, but Lord, you said it there. I'd be wanting nothing. Make the Bible read things that it shouldn't say.
That's right.
Be careful that we don't do that. Think spiritually. Wanting nothing means not deficient with regard to spiritual strength. Prepared. Through each trial, we're that much stronger to face the next one. Isn't that wonderful? Patience prepares us. Through each trial, we're prepared to face the next one. Can you imagine going through today without the experience of yesterday? I don't know if I could. Each trial prepares us for the next one. I like being prepared. Praise God today for the help that today lends to tomorrow. That's how you can count it all joy in the middle of your test. Is you can say, okay, Lord, I don't like what I'm having to endure right now as a 7-foot Q-tip with mean chemicals is shoved up my nose and burns really bad. But I know that when this is over with, she's going to give me medicine. And tomorrow, I'll feel a lot better than I do right now. Praise God today for the help that it lends to tomorrow. You may not like where you're at. You may not like what you're facing. You may not like what you're going through right now. But without today's experience, you'll never get through tomorrow. Without yesterday's experience, you would never be able to face today. Patience prepares us. And then James ends up this sermon in his, well, he ends up his book over in chapter number 5. If you'll turn a couple pages with me there. And he gives us Job again. We come back to Job a lot here at our church. I don't know why that is, but I like Job. He's a great example of faith for us. Verse 10 and 11, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, in your trial, you've not seen the end. You're looking for the end. You're hoping to get to the end. And you think, if I can ever make it, I may not enter another trial again. But look at others. Look in your past. You've seen the end there. That's how you can be prepared and persevere. You can have patience and endure. We see very clearly, James writes of it. You can read the book of Job, it writes of it. Job in the end was rewarded exceedingly above the trials he endured. I look around the church this morning. And some of you are right in the middle of the biggest trial of your life. And your mentality right now is, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I see others of you who are on the back end of a trial. You've just come through it, that near-death experience, that end of it all. You didn't know what you were going to do. And I look at you now and there's a smile on your face. You're healthy. You made it through it to the glory of God. You've seen the end. Christians, we've all seen it. It's hard to see when you're in your trial. When we get in our little tunnel, our little box, and we're going through what we have to go through, it's almost impossible to look and say, well, they made it through, and I can too, and they're my help for this. It's hard to say, well, Job made it through, or James says I can make it through and I can count it all joy through, or Jesus said, hey, you're going to have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. It's hard to see that, but I'm asking you to this morning. Patience and endurance. Life's hard. But know that there's a purpose for your trial. And know that there's a guarantee in that trial that patience prepares us, patience completes us, and patience perfects us.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.